south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Today we have some examples of why it's not a good idea to live on the Gringo Tourist Trail. It's okay to visit the Gringo Tourist Trail once in a while, or even when you first come down because you don't know any Spanish and you want to mix with gringos and sort of cushion the culture shock, because, you know, there always is some of that. Now, if you were one of those guys or gals who did the 3-month-at-a-time tourist backpacker thing in Latin America, then maybe it won't be much of a culture shock to you. You know what it's all about. I've said time and time again that those blogs and retirement rags and international living, especially international living, promote just a tiny sliver of Latin America. Places they recommend that are always on the Gringo Tourist Trail, and if they're not yet, they soon are because, well, people jump on it and soon enough it's like poisoning a pristine pond or shooting yourself in the foot. The travel writers fringe and mainstream arrive, they start writing about it, the media picks up on it, they even end up in the Sunday travel section of the Milwaukee Journal and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And suddenly, a whole gringo industry grows up and engulfs, sometimes even suffocates, a pristine little Latin paradise. So how do you keep that from happening? How do you keep out the gringo riffraff? It's not easy. Once a place catches on, it catches on like wildfire, just like Colombia and Ecuador these days. Meanwhile, there's Costa Rica, Mexico, and Panama. Great examples of places that were once pristine and very much paradises. But in reality, there are no deals left. The ground floor was filled in 20, even 30 years ago. All you've got to choose from now are expensive leftovers. But you know, if money's no object, you could work things out quite nicely in any Latin country. So now, with over 1.5 million gringo expats living or owning property in Mexico, wouldn't you know, gringos and gringas living there write me emails all the time. And right now, the emails complaining about living in Mexico are running about 5-1 against the gringos who are saying, come on down, it's great. As opposed to 4 or 5 years ago, when emails were running about 50-50 pro and con. Do note that it's the gringos who came down living on Social Security or a pension that are doing most of the complaining. Not surprising, I don't hear from gringos living there who've got a lot of dough, who've got $300,000 and $400,000 condos in Cabo, for example. Makes sense, because you see, if you got dough, you can live in a really nice gated, guarded community, and the whole area will be pretty much totally gringoized. That is, high-end gringo stores, malls, activities, country clubs galore, a completely transplanted Gringolandia. With, of course, a nicely scrubbed, fine veneer of what Mexico used to be like, before the gringos arrived, just for local flavor. You know, grand fiestas, parades, salsa clubs, tequila bars, drunk, out-of-tune mariachi bands, aren't they always? None of that stuff cheap these days, it's all gringo prices. Now, all that comes along with a seemingly happy local population, though they're completely jaded by the gringo dollar. Need proof? Think it's hyperbole? Listen to this email. Hey, I get stacks of emails from people from Mexico. Actually, virtual stacks. And I'll paraphrase this and a couple other emails I hope to get to today. But this is pretty representative. It starts out, hey, Johnny, wish I would have found your show 5 years ago. You know, there's a lot of strictly gringo organizations in all the gringoized cities here in Mexico. You know, you got Americans abroad, Republicans and Democrats abroad. You've mentioned that, but I'm thinking of starting a new one. It's going to be called Retirement Abroad Gone Bad. It'd be for the thousands and thousands of gringos and expats who are totally disillusioned with retirement here in Mexico. Those of us who can't wait to get back to the States or other parts south, though many of us are overinvested here, so we just can't. That means tens of thousands of us, for the time being, we remain here, sucking it up or complaining, licking our wounds. However, luckily, there exists that so-called greater fool theory. There are so many people up in the States that think Mexico would be the great retirement haven it used to be some years ago. So there is, in some parts of Mexico, a lively real estate resale market amongst gringos. But everyone, it seems, in the real estate market, including the sellers, are big liars. They have to be. My advice if you're selling a place in Mexico is not to be there when the prospective buyers come through. Let the realtor bring them through. You know, and it's always gringo realtors, doesn't that tell you something? So why am I advising the seller not be present when the people come through? Because inevitably you're going to get questions from the prospective clueless gringo buyer. He's going to ask, why are you selling? Why are you leaving? And if you tell the truth, you're going to lose the sale. Well, I'm getting ahead of my story now, but as you know, there's something like 1.5 million expatriates living here in Mexico, and many, many more are coming. There's some great marketing going on. There's so many baby boomers retiring. And the U.S., well, we know it's got problems, multiple problems. It's not the country us baby boomers grew up in. It may be okay for our kids who grew up in the digitized world, but not for us, which is why my wife and I escaped in the first place. And Johnny, I seriously mean it when I use that word escape. However, Americans do believe the hype about Mexico. They're under the false impression that it's far cheaper to live here. It's nothing but beaches, mountains, margaritas, and tacos. And they can live better in Mexico than any place up in the first world. The real truth is that it's not always less expensive to live here. The places gringos want to live are always so gringoized, well, you've got first world prices everywhere. Truth is, if you want to live cheap in Mexico, you can live in many of the thousands of middle and lower middle class barrios, but you're not even going to have hot water. And at that, the cold water will probably only be on 8 or 10 hours a day. And the crime, well, that's something else the promoters and marketers will never talk about. Sure, they'll talk about narcos and such, as if it's all confined to towns 100 miles away. But it's a country where crime and corruption are rampant and closing in on the gringoized areas, too. And now, with so many, as you call them, clueless gringos, Johnny, we're becoming the convenient targets. We're not only the prey of choice, but the authorities ignore our pleas when there is a crime perpetrated. And it's funny, Johnny, how in your previous show you mentioned that Mexicans and Latins up in the States, mostly illegals, celebrate their country's holidays up there by waving the flags, closing off streets, having block parties. You talk about how they don't want to assimilate and have extreme patriotism for their homeland. Well, Johnny, you know, it kind of works in reverse, too, at least here in Mexico. There must have been 400 or 500 gringos out on the streets of my Mexican town, 4th of July, right? Partying away, everyone in red, white, and blue, American flags everywhere, people blowing off fireworks, hot dogs, hamburgers, Texas barbecues. So look who's calling the kettle black. Nope, gringos and expats down here don't want to assimilate into the Mexican culture either. Of all the gringos and expats I know here in Mexico, I'd say only 2 to 5% speak enough Spanish to have a decent conversation with the Mexican who's waiting on them at the hardware store. And tell me, why does it seem like every other gringo I meet down here was in the real estate business up in the States? And the other half, retired teachers or on a government pension? It's a mystery. I don't get it. So you're definitely not immune from having gringos pitching real estate properties and deals to you. Keep that in mind when you hear my story now. 5 years ago, me and my wife decided to move down to Chalapa. Things went bad fairly quickly, though. After seeing the Walmarts, the Taco Bells, the Chuck E. Cheese's, and the all-American strip mall skyline popping up everywhere, there were so many gringos moving to Chalapa, even first-world hotels and casinos started popping up. Result? The prices were jacked up on everything, even the price of real estate. Hard to believe, but higher than many states like Florida, Arizona, Nevada, etc. And just when you think the place is way too overbuilt, other big projects start breaking ground. But I think by far the biggest reason gringos living down here would join my hypothetical retirement gone bad club is our ongoing and continuing problem with corruption and scams. I hate to say this, but I've met a single gringo expat who's been down here for more than a year who hasn't been ripped off by a salesman, a contractor, builder, lawyer, mechanic, repair guy, you name it. Though ripped off would apply most of the time, sometimes you're just gouged. And contracts? Well, forget about contracts. If you have a dispute with anyone you've signed a contract with, you're the wealthy gringo who can't speak Spanish, not enough anyway to have read or understood the fine points of the contract. Gringos I know who've been through this system will tell you the governments, the courts, the cops have rigged things in such a way that the locals always come out ahead in a dispute against a gringo. And why is it always that the officials or the cops seem to be related to the person on the other side of that contract? By the way, I think a lot of this would simply evaporate if gringos would learn the language and then they wouldn't get themselves stuck in deals like that. Worse yet, gringos and expats who can't speak Spanish and can't read a Spanish contract, they feel calmed by the fact that they know they can find a gringo somewhere, probably in an expat bar, who'll be glad to help you out. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been helped out by gringos and later found out I've been screwed. Or maybe we deserve it. There's a lot of gringos who've been down here a long, long time who make a nice living as middlemen for other gringos who don't speak Spanish well and thus don't quite know their way around. It's true that us gringos and expats bring our values with us when we come down to Mexico and we assume there's a rule of law. That's a big misconception, you know. Here's a common example of that. You might buy a used car or order some furniture and put down a nice deposit. The furniture never arrives, or you go to pick up the car and it's been sold already. You've got a receipt for the deposit, right? So what are you going to do? Hire a lawyer and go to court? The case will come up in 3/4 of a year if you're lucky. Or how about this? You contract with a builder. He has supplies delivered to the site. You pay the bill, get the receipt. When you're not there, of course you won't be because you've got a life and it's a building site, right? The builder or his cronies come back and pick up the material and move it to another job. Like, for example, what happened to my gringo neighbor. He said there was a giant load of blocks delivered for a project he was doing. And every day, he noticed the pile kept getting smaller and smaller. And the 50 bags of cement, well, turned to 40, then to 30. Yet nothing involving cement or blocks was going on at his house at the time. Things were disappearing, but he never caught anyone in the act. And that goes on even though you hire a guard to live on your construction site 24/7. That's standard procedure here for whatever you build, even a single family house. And if you notice such things, your Spanish better be decent enough to question the guard or you're not going to get anywhere. And even if you can get your point across, you're not going to get anywhere because, you know, a thief never admits to the crime. That's part of the MO. And beware of gringos. You know, the weather's nice down here. Gringos want to stay in that climate. So the ones who aren't retired, not receiving a pension, have to make money. So often gringos do have something to sell. But beware especially of gringo realtors. As mentioned, you'll meet real estate people all the time. Realtors, often gringo realtors, who say they're part of a U.S. franchise and have the business card to prove it. Remax, Century 21, they're all down here. But remember, this is Mexico, and the rule of the law, well, you could say in most cases it doesn't exist. The real estate franchise company you put your confidence in because you recognize the name from up in the United States has no real power here in Mexico, even though they're all over the place. And they're not on your side. They're not out to help you. So if a deal goes bad, there are few consumer protections, nothing like up in the United States. There may or may not be someone to sue, but the cards are stacked against you. At best, you'll be able to get on an expat blog and tell your sordid story, but there's a million gringo ripoff stories out there on the net, so don't expect to get any satisfaction, except for having the satisfaction of getting it off your chest and maybe having a few gringos reply saying, "Hey, that happened to me too. Thank God I'm not the only one." If you think, especially in the real estate business, things work orderly and in sequence like they do up north, you're dreaming. I know of a guy who put down a 10% deposit on a $200,000 house, contingent on a home inspection. He had a gringo friend, a retired contractor, look over the house, and it didn't pass. And the prospective buyer lost his deposit because the seller claimed he had a local Latin contractor do the inspection and there was nothing seriously wrong with it. Problem there, the prospective buyer did not have a local Latin lawyer help him write up that stipulation. It was way too nebulous, too many loopholes. The contract should have said, "A building inspector of my choice." So a Mexican lawyer could have protected this guy somewhat. But even so, if he'd wanted to take his deposit, it would take 3/4 of a year to get him in court. Oh, and here's something about Mexican courts. They're big on the payment plan. So, for example, if you did win a case in court against a Latin contractor, architect, professional, it doesn't matter. The loser could tell the judge he'll pay $50 a month for the next 10 years, and the judge is likely to accept that. And, you know, you might get the first 5 or 6 payments out of the guy, but if he quits paying or just disappears, like many of them do, can you see the problem? One thing gringos in Mexico must know right away, they will get screwed by contractors. Because they say they're contractors, they really pump up their resumes. But they're really not certified or registered because there is no such system. Same thing with real estate. So you can be whatever you like. And you as a gringo could advertise yourself as anything you want too. You could call yourself a plumber, a writer, a tax specialist, a palm reader, electrician, TV repair guy, new age massage therapist, land surveyor, mechanic, air conditioning specialist. Just about anything you want, save for a physician, dentist, and lawyer. Luckily, they're pretty strict about that stuff. So you might get screwed to a small extent by cement contractors or plumbers, but when it comes to real estate and building, well, those are big ticket items. Then he goes on to say, for example, the other day I got screwed out of $5 by Claro, that's the cell phone company, when I loaded some time into my cell phone. Being a gringo, I probably fretted way too much about it. I got pissed off as usual, knowing it wasn't going to help. There was a time when I first got down to Mexico, I'd have fought for that $5, but now I know better. Do I really want to go down to a Claro phone office in a strip mall, stand in line for an hour, and maybe get that $5 back? So, if you live in Mexico, you're going to get ripped off. But you have to pick your battles. Meanwhile, I have to say a lot of bad things happen when you live up in the States, especially in the big cities. Then there's that certain percentage of gringos that complain about everything. Then he says, Johnny, I had an ex-girlfriend up in the States. I couldn't take her out to dinner anywhere. She sent everything back. You'll meet a lot of complaining gringos down here who come from that school. And I'm not one of those because I recognize that in other people and try not to stand out and be a jerk about things. That's not to say us pissed off gringos don't sometimes get together and say to each other, what would I have done instead of moving to Mexico? What would I have done differently? Well, first of all, I'm a person dead set on having a plan B outside the U.S. If I can ever get rid of the real estate baggage I have here in Mexico, get somewhere near what I've got into it, I'm going, as you say, south of the border. I'll try Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, South America even, but I'll rent. Yes, I'll rent and I'll keep on renting. Meanwhile, as far as my new Mexican retirement gone bad meetup group, I'm sure as soon as word gets out, I'll have no shortage of members. Hey, now there's an idea, a Mexican retirement gone bad website. Membership only, $10 to join. Hey, maybe the bucks will roll in and I won't have to leave Mexico after all. I'll have found that gringo niche you're always talking about, Johnny. Though, you know, I'm kind of a lifelong procrastinator. That's why I just came down 5 or 6 years ago. I was thinking about it 25 years ago, but it took me that long to get my plan B underway. With my luck, some gringo with a little more initiative than I have will hear this on your podcast and beat me to it. In the end, my advice to people thinking about moving to Mexico, that boat sailed a long time ago. If you like endless frustration, stress, disappointment, some people thrive on that, you know, like my ex. But me and so many thousands of expat gringos here in Mexico find that the constant scams and ripoffs, they get tiring. Why is it that so many people up in the States who are sick and tired of Big Brother and being taxed to death think, like me, that voting with your feet and having a plan B should somehow involve Mexico? It's as if there's only one other option south of Mexico. That would be Costa Rica. It's like falling off the edge of the earth anywhere south of there. My advice, and I have a lot of stories to back this up, if you're thinking about permanently moving to Mexico or Costa Rica, you should have the word sucker tattooed on your forehead. And I understand, Johnny, that's starting to happen in Panama, Colombia, and Ecuador, too. So as soon as I get my property sold, and hopefully I won't take a bath, I'm out of here. Nope, no more on the gringo tourist trail stuff for me. Anyway, Johnny, there's my rant. I hope I didn't whine too much. By the way, I have on the top of my list to come to your seminar right after I sell my stuff down here. However, that depends on how much I lose or get gouged, so I can't promise when I'll be down. By the way, Johnny, to pay you back for what you do, I'll waive the membership requirement for my Mexican retirement gone bad group. As of now, you've got an honorary lifetime membership. Nos vemos, Johnny. Señor Dalton. Well, Senor Dalton, it was a really good but sad report. Kind of reinforces what I've been saying about Mexico. By the way, when this show first airs, that'll be Sunday, July 9th, I'll be deep into herding the cats around at my latest Expat Insider Seminar. And as I mentioned on the last show, for the next week, if you're listening to this show on PRN, Progressive Radio Network, you'll be hearing two golden oldies broadcasts from my 675 shows in the archives. Yep, I'll be taking a one-week vacation. But I'll be back again live, well, kind of live anyway, on Friday, July 21st. Now, you know, a lot of the big mistakes gringos and expats make when they move down to Latin America, when they're setting up their plan B, is that they get all their info secondhand from blogs and websites, and they don't get any meaningful boots on the ground. I mean meaningful, not in gringo tourist areas like Costa Rica and Cancun. That'll get you about zero knowledge of what it's really like to live down here. So eventually you have to get boots on the ground, and if you just can't right now, the best way to organize your own plan B, because, you know, we all have a little different idea of what it's going to be, is to sign up for my 9-hour-long video course called Expat Essentials. You can do that by going to www.expatplanb.com. Once there, you can download my 3 free introductory videos. And you know, quite a few people get hung up while they're putting together their plan B and they give me a call. Yep, I frequently do one-on-one phone and Skype consult calls. So I invite you to download my phone consultation questionnaire. Do have a look at it. It'll give you some good ideas when putting together your own plan B. It's free and it'll probably get you thinking about some of the things you may have missed. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, all one word, and download Johnny's phone consultation questionnaire. No obligation, but if you're putting together your plan B, you could find it quite valuable. All right, where were we? Oh yeah, I get a lot of emails from disgruntled gringos and expats living in Mexico. In fact, these days I rarely get an email that says anything positive about the place. Oh sure, while people are complaining, they'll throw in the good stuff like medical care is cheap, great weather, cheap food in the markets. But that's true all over Latin America. Nothing special about Mexico there. By the way, just to round things out a bit and play devil's advocate, you know, corruption is rampant in the U.S. as well. I mean, you've got crooked builders there ripping people off, insurance salesmen lying to you, fly-by-night roofing and cement contractors, problems with internet and Netflix scams and cell phone dealers that don't live up to their contracts, lying scumbag used car dealers and mechanics that gouge you. In fact, I don't think there's an adult woman up in the States who hasn't been gouged or scammed by a car dealer or a repair guy. Sometimes, you know, when a woman walks into a used car dealership, she's got a virtual sucker tattoo on her forehead. And how can we leave out those lying, thieving, pussbag, pedophile, pervert politicians? You can tell I'm being kind here because I'm leaving out the expletives. Just giving equal time here to stateside scumbags now. And how do you explain this? Just a month ago, a friend of mine came down from Chicago to visit. He'd never been south of Tijuana before. Asked me when he was down if I could hook him up with a dentist. I did. He told me that he hadn't been to one in the States for a long time and was shocked to find just recently he was diagnosed with 10 cavities. Funny thing, the dentist here, the one I recommended, said he only had 2 cavities. All right, moving on. How about this email about Mexico from Kim? She says, I wouldn't be surprised if the source of all those unrealistic expectations about Mexico come mostly from people who read the stuff from International Living. I've been on their mailing list for years. Even before the internet, I'd get all kinds of snail mail reports from them. In fact, I looked forward to them, offering a glamorous, inexpensive, tropical lifestyle and all that. But I can say from experience that you have to be very cautious about relying on them for true information. I mean, really true information about the countries they're talking about. I found out you have to be careful about doing business with them in general. I was on their mailing list. I got so much mail, and they pitched me so often that I came down to one of their seminars. It was in South America. And specifically, they were talking over and over how you could live like a king or a queen on $1,200 a month or a Social Security income. Boy, was I surprised, since they were pitching how cheap it was to live there and how cheap land and houses were. And here, they put us up in the most expensive hotel in the area. And of course, flying for so many hours and going so far south, I thought maybe I'd stay another week. And I quickly found out that staying at that hotel and all the additional other costs would have cost me, with transportation and a guide, about $3,000 for an extra week, just to get some boots on the ground and explore on my own. They gave us, the ones that wanted to stay on and explore for ourselves, absolutely no other alternatives for housing, etc. There must have been cheaper hotels and bed and breakfasts, but no one told us. Then Kim says, I was thinking if the kind of people International Living is targeting for these kinds of trips were people who wanted to live on $1,200 a month, you'd clearly never be able to pull that off on the kind of living they were showing us firsthand. You know, for people who are into digging online and doing research, I found tons of complaints about International Living. A number of people had attended previous events and said the conferences were all about getting people to buy land and houses while there, investments through International Living or its associates. And wouldn't you know, all those real estate deals and investments were at noticeably higher prices, according to what gringos living down there a while claimed were common for the area. You know, anybody could do a search on the internet for reviews and complaints of practically any organization. Yes, there are trolls out there who manipulate forums, and I know some people myself who are chronic complainers. However, the number of complaints I saw about international living and how easy it was to find them is not a good sign. Oh, me Johnny here again. Listen to this one. Johnny, you know, in a way I feel kind of dumb. While trying to do some investigating of my own on various Central and South American countries, I discovered quite a few of those so-called informational sites were actually owned by International Living, or their articles were heavily slanted by writers who also worked for International Living. Same with the real estate salespeople, which to me just gives more credibility to online complaints. Okay, here comes the part about Mexico. Kim says, I've been traveling to Mexico from the U.S. for 20 years now, and I've seen a big change in Mexico over that period of time. It's changed, it really has. From a genuinely innocent, laid-back, low-key culture to kind of a subdued, nervous tension, I assume because of the escalating levels of violence. And one more general comment about Latin America. If you like peace and quiet and solitude, perhaps you're a reader, a writer, or you're into meditation, you should forget about living in the urban parts of Latin America. Though living in the countryside is fine. I lived in Mexico and other Latin countries, and there seems to be a constant droning accented by spurts of noise. It really seems the Latin culture needs a certain level of noise and racket to function, mostly caused by kids and adolescents, though they are well-behaved. However, if you're not used to that stuff, you could have many sleepless nights. What with the firecrackers, laughter, parties, aerial bombs, even if you live in a nice isolated, gringoized, gated community. No matter where you are, you're never far enough away from where the locals are living where you won't hear somebody's birthday, quinceañeros, or graduation bombs blowing off at all hours. And even if you live in one of those nice, gringoized communities with very big lots, there's always a rooster within earshot and the favorite time to crow, 4 in the morning. And finally, American ladies, if you're under 80, be prepared to be routinely harassed with sexist comments and vulgar noises. And there's no use complaining, it's part and parcel of the Latin macho culture. In the United States, it would be sexual harassment, pure and simple. Beats me how Latin women put up with it, but they do. They just shrug it off without embarrassment. Ladies will tell you they don't react, they just ignore it. There's no avoiding it, there's no getting around it. If you're walking down the street, it'll happen to you. So, Johnny, just some boots on the ground, words of wisdom from a gringa who spent some time in Latin America. Signed, Carla from Flagstaff. Well, thanks, Carla, I think. All right, then, for all you listeners thinking about setting up your plan B in Mexico, maybe you'd like to rewind this show and listen to it again.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.